The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
What's coming up on today's experience? Dr. Dave's devotional diamonds of the day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but a merry heart does make like medicine, and a doctor spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think, doesn't matter which side you're on, news with an agenda is still propaganda. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because even if I stayed at home, I would have a brush in my hand. I'd be looking in the mirror, and I'd be doing the exact same thing. Might as well do it on the radio. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. Good night. No, I'm sorry. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk Jesus with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. Pretty straightforward. Do we think in fear or do we think in faith? Do we think in fear or do we think in faith? Wow. What a question. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. We consider that to be sad. What we'd love you to do is reach out to us. Give us a call, 972-445-0770. Now, even if you're in San Diego right now and it's 1134, you know what? The phone number is still 972-445-0770. Or even if you're in Dallas, I just want to let right now at 1:34. Guess what? The phone number, it's still 972-445-0770. Isn't that amazing? No matter where you are, it's the same phone number. So what we didn't do is we encourage you to call us. There's a lot of reasons to call. It can be a prayer request. It can be a praise report. It's just something you want to share, something that's going on. Totally open to that. Totally awesome for all of that. If you do make that call, I'm telling you up ahead of time, you will have this enormous privilege and this wonderful opportunity to talk to our very own Jammin' Jacob! Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like a peaceful day and evening with no drama. That'd be so nice. No drama. Wouldn't you love that? I would love that. Bottom line, though, you can also, if you want to, text us. So you can call or you can text. That's okay. Either way, if you text, it's 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Let me do it in a non-professional voice. 214-210-8483. pretty straightforward there. Additionally, you can send us an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's David, D-A-V-I-D. There's a V in the middle of two Ds with an A, with an I, david@hemustincrease.org. Also, we're going to send you up to the website. So the website's got a lot of cool stuff on it. I want to tell you, it does have a praise report form, a prayer request form. Plus, there's an opportunity to give and partner with the ministry as we are doing our best to expand and to live and to step out in faith, and we're doing our best. We need your help to come along with us and to partner with us. That's very, very helpful. Thank you very much. And the bottom line is, in that giving process, when you give to us, I'm not going to promise you anything. We're not going to give you anything. But if you give unto the Lord and you are in an agreement, and you give it, you do the best you can, and whether it's to us or any ministry, this is true, you give it unto the Lord in faith, in confidence, in trust that he can do more with what you have left over than you can do with what you have if you don't give. That's the whole principle that's involved there. So you can do it with us, you can do it with somebody else, I don't care. Just be a giver because God loves that. Our scripture, Deuteronomy 15:10, give generously to the needy and do not let your heart be grieved when you do so. And because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything to which you put your hand. Check all that stuff out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is.
Okay, I'm not going to say that I've used Alka-Seltzer before, but I've used Alka-Seltzer before. Oh, wait, I wasn't going to say that. Oh, wait, well, I have. Oh, wait, well, okay. You know, those spicy meals, when you're learning to enjoy spicy meals, it takes a little while, right? That's the plop, plop, fizz, fizz. We do have somebody on the line that is wanting to reach out to us. I'm not sure what it's about, so let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Matt in Dallas, Texas.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. I got a question for you.
Okay. I hope I can answer it. If I can't, I can research it, but I will do my best. What do you got?
I'm sure you can. Here's a question, okay? You know, you read about the rapture in the book of, say, the Revelation.
Okay, you talk about the rapture in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4, and then the book of Revelation.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go. Okay.
So the question is there a difference? Okay, when Jesus raptures the church, okay, I think the scripture says that he's going to bring the dead up first. Okay.
Right.
Okay. As far as the death symbol, does it matter if you've been cremated?
No. That's a really great question. That's a great question. Let me. I'm going to borrow a few other scholars' answers because they do it pretty well. But it's a great question, and I want you to know that's a great question. It does not matter whether you're cremated or not. Just for people that don't know. Billy Graham did an entire piece on it. Really good. I mean, a really well theologically, you know, kind of like point by point by point thesis on the cremation part. Saul, in fact, was cremated. I know he did really bad. I'm pretty sure he's not going to hell, especially because Samuel made a reference that he was going to see him. So I'm gonna go out on that big limb and go, that guy's probably there. But he was cremated. So there's the question as, you know, well, how does that work or how do you go about that? It's not, and I'm just telling everybody, and people can have their personal preferences, and I fully respect and love people for that. I mean, I love that people have the differences. But if you are comfortable with that.
So Billy Graham was cremated?
No, he wrote a piece on it about cremation.
Oh, okay.
And in that piece, he does a great job on kind of laying it out, like from a scriptural point of view. There's nothing in this process that makes us think, well, God can't raise the ashes because we already know he can rattle the bones in Ezekiel 37 and put flesh on them and raise them up.
So what you're saying is, okay, say a cremated body has like, okay, say a million pieces, ashes.
Yeah, and it could have a billion.
So
it wouldn't matter. It's God.
Okay, so those ashes are going to come together as a body and go ahead and those ashes will say ascend to heaven.
Yeah. So right. Well, here's what I would say. I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't have any idea how God does it. Okay, so I'm going to say that up ahead of time. So if it's from those ashes, if it's from the minerals in the ground, if it's from molecules, it's from atoms that the person left in the, I have no idea. What I know is that God can take any of that and raise up life just like he took, dirt and breathed into it. And that life, by the way, he breathed in one time. People are still receiving breath from God because of birth, because of Adam and Eve. Still.
Oh, boy, God is good.
Yeah,
God
he's big, good. Man. He's pretty big. So it's a great question. My most direct answer is if you are comfortable, you know, and that's not a problem for you, that's fantastic. If you don't like that and don't want to be cremated, don't be. I mean, some people have, like, kind of a back and forth on it. I think it has nothing to do with any kind of salvation decision. It has nothing to do with you actually being resurrected. It really has to do with preference point, because like I said, we have some biblical examples. I don't think it's terrible to do. I think if it's a tradition to your family not to do it and you want to honor that, do it that way. This is a Romans 13, make it right between you and God and your conscience decision moment.
Okay.
That's what I would tell you.
Hey, thank you, Dr. Spoon.
You are welcome,
it.
Sir. You are more than welcome, and thank you for calling in and asking.
Have a good day.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay. Yay. I wasn't anticipating that, but that was fun. Right? I love stuff like that because it's like you never know, right?
Live radio, you never know.
You don't have any idea. Now, I do want to open a little bit with prayer. I want to pray for Al. Al's one of our buddies. Al's been with the show for a long time, and he's texted. He's got some of the most humorous texts that we've ever seen. But Al's mother-in-law, she has a little bit of struggle. And in that struggle, she fell, and then she had to go to emergency surgery today. So we want to pray for Lori and for Al and for the mother-in-law, just for healing and for peace for Lori and Al in their process. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer, and then I'll read something Eric text that was really a great, great text. So I'll pull that up in a second. But let's pray for them first. Father, we come before you right now, and we thank you and praise you as we often do, Lord, because you are worthy of all praise. Any praise that can be given, you're worthy of, because every breath we have, you have given us. And so when we give you praise, it's just us taking that same gift you've given us and saying, thank you. We appreciate it. And we do appreciate it. And Lord, sometimes things in life on this earth, as it is until it's fully redeemed, there's a lot of struggle. There's a lot of moments where it's tough. And so right now we're praying for Lori and for Al, and we're asking you just to put grace into their home and grace into their lives and let them not be, overly anxious. And for Al's mother-in-law, we ask in the name of Jesus that this surgery would be extremely successful, there'd be some protection for her, and there'd be some protection for their family. These are people, Lord, that are part of us, and we love them, and we want you to bless them, and we want you to strengthen them and touch them and encourage them. Bring your peace into their hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, so we're going to jump into the teaching, but before I do want to give this one thing. Eric sent a text in as part of the response to the question that was asked. Really good, good point. And I didn't even go down this point, probably should have. But he said, hey, don't forget, because you have many martyrs, wonderful people for God, who were burned at the stake. You can't tell me those people aren't going to be there. Okay, so I'm just saying, you just got to know, oh, yeah, that's a really good way to understand it. Okay, now, I got to jump in, got to be quick, going to get going, and we'll do our trivia questions, so just hang in there, don't go anywhere, here we go. We are in James chapter 1, verse 22. You're going to wish that I just kept talking about burial and death and so on and so forth, because this is not fun. James chapter 1, verse 22, be doers of the word, and not hearers only, otherwise you're deceiving yourself. For anyone who hears the word but does not carry it out is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after observing himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. What does that all mean? Well, I think that's pretty clear. James, 1:22, instructs us to be doers of the word and not just hearers. This is a precursor, by the way, just so you can know, to James's later discussion in the same epistle about the connection between faith and works. Now, I'm not doing that today because it's forthcoming, as you know. But many people listen to speeches filled with spiritual poetry. And occasionally, these individuals nod in acknowledgement of the word. However, when a person only hears the word of God and does not act upon it, they live in a deception. They're deceiving themselves, but real quickly, who's the father of deception? I mean, who are they really following? So when people hear the word and they go, oh, well, that's lovely. Oh, the meek shall inherit the earth. That's good. They ought to get something, right? That kind of loveliness does not put actions into people's lives. And if you don't act upon the word and you hear it and you don't respond to it and do something with it, then hearing it is just like hearing a wonderful symphony. Sounds great, does nothing. There it is. There's zippity. What's the word I'm looking for? Zippity-doo-dah. There's nothing there. You might as well just sing it. So here's my statement to everybody. You're never going to do everything you hear perfectly. I'm not worried about that. But when you hear something and the Lord puts it in your heart and mind, massage it in. You know what a massage is? You start and you... my wife, she loves to get a massage from her husband. I give her the neck massage. You know what I don't do? I don't go, hi-ya! Chop her in the neck. I massage. Move it in. Be a doer, not a hearer, and move it in piece by piece. Okay? All right. That's that. All right. Now, we'll take a breath. Ready for a breath? Jacob, you're alive? You with me? Okay. Trivia. Who led Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the devil? Was it the disciples? Was it Satan? Or was it the Holy Spirit? Ooh. Who led Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the devil? Was it the disciples? Was it Satan? Or was it the Holy Spirit? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. See, there's ways to get in touch with us. You can really shout it from your bedroom or from your front hall, but we're in the inside of a middle of a building, and we're not going to hear that. And if you throw a paper airplane, it's not getting through the door. So my encouragement is text, email, or call. Yeah, you're just thinking, what's wrong with you? Nothing, it's Friday. Yay! Here we go. Who led Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the devil? Was it the disciples, Satan, or Holy Spirit? We do have somebody ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send him on through. Knock, knock, this is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David, this is Deborah.
Hello, Deborah. I just thank you for calling. I just love it when you call. I love it, love it, love it. So thank you.
Okay.
All right, here we go. I know you're going to get this, but it is a good question, and people need to get it. So who led Jesus into the desert to be tempted? Was it the disciples, Satan, or the Holy Spirit?
Satan.
Okay. Who led him out into the desert to be tempted and tested by the enemy?
Oh, Holy Spirit.
That is correct, Amanda! That's good. So what's good about that is now that first answer you gave, that would be that natural, because the enemy is the one that tempts. But what the Holy Spirit did was lead Jesus into that prior to public ministry so that he would be tested prior to, you know what I'm saying? That was the purpose.
Yes.
So that testing then prepared him for the things that were going to be thrown at him, which is why that happens for a lot of people now and people don't like it, because it's like, wait, let me just give you this great example. King David, you're going to be king, but before you're king, you're going to sleep in caves. It's like, oh, wait.
Right.
So that was a lot of testing beforehand, but he did get through it. So, but still right there, and I'm so happy you called, and I love it when you call, so please keep calling. I love it when you call in, okay?
All right, thank you, and I'm praying for you and Noel and Bert.
Thank you. We need it, especially Bert. Maybe if the Lord wants to hold him for a day and then bring him back, that would be great. Anyhow, no. I'm just...
All right, thanks, y'all. Have a happy weekend.
All right, God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Don't you love Deborah? She's so great. Okay, she's great. All right, so, all right. Everything's working great on the tech. Everything's just worked great.
So far, yeah. Everything's
working
great.
I'm so happy to hear that. I am happy to hear that. Let's go back to this test. This is tough. And what's tough about this, and I'll just tell you, is that I'm a big grace-oriented guy, but I'm also a big, you know what, you can't say you have grace and then do nothing. If you can't, here's the thing that drives me nutsy, okay? This drives me cuckoo, so just bear with me. You can't go, I'm a Christian, and then have nothing connected to Jesus. It's so ridiculous. People want to try and be Christians without Christ. Isn't that just the dumbest thing in the world? It's like, what do you mean? You can't do that. You got to have some connection here. So that's a big part that people need to catch on. So let's look at the rest of what he says. This is hilarious. Just bear with me. You have to understand why this is funny. Verse 23, anyone who hears the word but does not carry it out is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror. After observing himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. So can I tell you what that's like? That's like looking at yourself in the mirror and you have a piece of spinach in your teeth. Did you hear me? You have a piece of spinach in your teeth. And you look at it and then you walk away and don't pay attention to it. And guess what? It's there. So it's like when you look at yourself in the mirror and your hair, now I don't have any hair, so it doesn't really matter. But for other people, when your hair is all disheveled, and you look at it and then you walk away and you completely forget that you're disheveled, or you have this huge stain on the collar of your shirt and you look at it and then you just walk away and forget. That's what he's saying. It's saying, look, you can't be like that. You can't look at that and see that's not right. And so that's what he's saying. It's like, hey, that's not right. That's not the way to walk. That's not the way to be walking in the Christian faith. And you know, when no action is taken, I mean no action. I mean, you hear great sermons. I just know you guys do, so you don't have to tell me. There are many great sermons you've heard. Now, some sermons, yeah, you can't wait to get to lunch. I get it, okay? You don't have to tell me about it. But some sermons you hear and you go, man, that is phenomenal. That is so great. You need to take that. That is so great. I need to implement that stuff and then implement it. You got to be a doer, not just a hearer. And the people that are doers are blessed. So, you know, if the Lord's challenging you and then the Lord's, you know, speaking to you and then the faith comes. And this all is right connected to the parable of the sower, where the seed falls on four different paths. And on one of the paths, there's no fruit that's produced. And it's like, what a waste. Well, Christians can do that too. You shouldn't, but you could. Because you hear the word, it lands in there, but you don't do anything with it. Here's my super duper normal Dave human connection kind of moment. Ready? If you're in a church service and the preacher's preaching and the word of God challenges you and you know you should be doing it, ask God to help you to do it. See, wait. Don't just do it on your own. Ask God to help you, to partner with you and say, I need to do that more, Lord. Help me so I can do that more. Okay? Now, as we close it down, because I'm almost done with this first 30 minutes, which is, again, blowing by faster than we can dream of. Verse 25, the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and continues to do so, not being a forgetful hearer, but being an effective doer, he will be blessed in what he does. Verse 26, and wow, we could do an hour on this. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his heart and his religion is worthless. What has that got to do with anything? Here's what it has to do with. I'm not going to do the definition on religion until next week. And it's a very fascinating definition. It has to do with rules and regulations and so on and so forth. So, you know, but in this context, the word religion is used wisely, or what the principle of application of faith. And what James says, and remember, James, right to the matter, he goes, if you consider yourself to be somewhat religious, if you're a religious person and you can't shut up from time to time, you got problems. In other words, the scripture in Proverbs says a fool utters all his mind. That is not what we are looking for. Okay. And the reason is because not every thought that goes through our mind is exactly anointed of God. You get the picture there? Sometimes you think of something and you think that's dumb, right? Yeah, I'm sure I'm the only person that's had an argument with somebody else in my head. Anyhow, my point in bringing that up to you is that it is wise on our behalf to be aware of how much our speech needs to be observed. If we are in a situation, especially when you get into like politics and so on and so forth, it's crucial to control your speech and not say things that shouldn't be said, because keep in mind, when you do say those things, that reveals your heart, and you shouldn't have your heart along those lines. It is fascinating that James talks about faith with works and words, and as we get into the rest of the letter, you'll find out that's his theme. If you're in San Diego, keep listening by going to hemustincrease.org. If you're in Dallas, just hang out. KAAM, we'll take a short break. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
The deterioration of the ecosystem, or creation itself, is definitely the result of man. You say, well, how can you say that? Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 19 through 21. I just read the scriptures. I don't need anything else. The Bible says this: the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Creation itself is longing for the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ. And until that takes place, it is on a collision course down. The result of the ecosystem or creation itself crashing is a result of man's sin in the garden. So when they say, oh, well, it's not man-made, oh, yes, it is. Of course it's man-made. It's because we messed up in the garden. But I wasn't with Adam and Eve. You were in the person of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to use it, you were in the life-giving force of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to really say it, you were in the loins of Adam and Eve. You were there, too. They stuck their fist up to God and said, nope. And God went, okie dokie, here's the result.
The David Spoon Experience.